Okay, so you guys sent us some really interesting stuff about what's happening over on Solana. Specifically, this whole concept of liquid restaking. And we wanted to, do a deep dive into it, see if we can really wrap our heads around how it works, what the implications are for the Solana ecosystem, and really, how this potentially changes things in terms of both the efficiency of the ecosystem, but also, for us as, people participating in it, how we might be able to see some, boosted yields or different ways to participate.
Definitely, yeah.
So I think maybe the best place to start is with kind of the traditional idea of staking,
Yeah, absolutely.
just to kind of level set, I think.
So traditional staking, I think, as most people know, you lock up your tokens to help secure the network.
Right.
And in return for that, you get rewards.
Right.
But the inherent limitation there, as you know, is that those tokens become, well, locked up.
Right.
They're doing their job for security.
Right.
But your access to them or their utility is limited.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, putting your money in like a certificate of deposit or something. It's safe and it's earning some interest, but you can't really touch it. And if some other opportunity comes along, you're kind of stuck. And so that's where Solana's liquid restaking kind of comes in, and this is where things start to get really interesting. So the core concept here is that you're staking your SOL. It's contributing to the security of the network, but at the same time, it remains liquid and it remains usable in the world of DeFi. So how do they pull this off?
Well, the key to this is the creation of these liquid staking tokens, LSTs.
Right.
When you stake your SOL, you receive these LSTs in return.
Okay.
So think of it as a digital receipt or a parking ticket for your staked SOL. Your car, SOL, is still parked securely, securing the network, earning rewards.
Right.
But you have a ticket, LST, that you can trade or use elsewhere,
Okay.
right? Unlike a regular parking ticket, this one has value and is freely tradable.
Okay, so it's not just like a proof of stake just sitting there. It can actually be put to work. So they can be traded, they can be used as collateral for loans, all while the original SOL is still earning
Earning staking
the
rewards.
staking rewards. So that's pretty powerful.
It is.
Because it's kind of like a dual power. It's about maximizing capital efficiency in a way that we haven't really seen before.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so I guess this is sort of an evolution,
It is.
right? We started with staking,
Staking, right?
which, was a way to secure the network and earn some rewards, but your assets were kind of locked up. And then we had liquid staking, which was, this sort of big leap forward to say, well, now we can, stake and still have our assets be liquid through these LSTs, but now we have liquid restaking. So it's like, what's the restaking part bring to the table?
Yeah, you got it. It's like the next logical progression in this evolution.
Okay.
It allows those already staked assets, more accurately, the LSTs,
Right.
right, to be redeployed for additional staking.
Okay.
So not only are they liquid,
Yeah.
but they can be staked again.
Okay, and this can happen.
This could be within the same Solana ecosystem
Okay.
or potentially across different blockchains.
Wow.
It's about leveraging these derivative tokens to
Yeah.
contribute to security in other networks,
Interesting.
enhancing interoperability and unlocking even more potential avenues for earning yields.
Okay, so let's get into the specifics here. How does Solana actually pull this off?
Well, one of the most compelling aspects is this idea of seamless restaking functionality. Imagine being able to shift your staked tokens around
Yeah.
without having to unstake,
Okay.
which often involves waiting periods
Yeah.
and penalties.
Right.
So this seamless reallocation boosts liquidity
Right.
because your assets aren't stuck in an unstaking queue.
Yeah.
And it helps keep the network humming smoothly
Right.
because your stake isn't being withdrawn.
Yeah. So no more waiting periods to
Exactly.
adjust your strategy.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So that's huge in terms of efficiency.
It is, and this efficiency leads to enhanced yield opportunities.
Okay.
So because your staked assets remain liquid in the form of these restaked tokens,
Right.
which remember are the LSTs,
Right.
they can be integrated into various dApps and DeFi protocols on Solana.
Okay.
This opens the door to tapping into multiple staking and DeFi strategies at the same time,
Okay.
potentially leading to significantly higher overall yields than just traditional staking.
Okay, and I know we keep using the term restake tokens.
Yeah.
Are these like different from the LSTs?
You know, the terminology can have some overlap.
Right.
And the articles do use restake tokens sometimes to just refer to the LSTs as they become eligible for these further actions within DeFi.
Okay.
But the core idea is that these are interoperable tokenized assets.
Okay.
You receive this tokenized representation of your stake SOL.
Right.
And it's not a static placeholder. It can be actively deployed within Solana's DeFi ecosystem.
Right.
For activities like lending, borrowing, or providing liquidity.
Gotcha.
This active utility is what really supercharges efficiency.
Okay. So it's the same token. It's just that LST is
wearing many hats.
Wearing many hats. Okay.
Right.
Makes sense. So what about, you know, all this restaking? Does it potentially make the Solana network weaker?
Well, ideally, it should have the opposite effect. Network security reinforcement.
Okay.
By making staking more appealing and more adaptable.
Yeah.
It should encourage greater overall participation in staking. And generally, a higher percentage of SOL being staked means a more secure and decentralized network.
Okay.
Plus, the validators themselves could see increased delegations.
Right.
As more users are incentivized to stake.
Gotcha. Okay. And we know Solana's famous for being really fast and having those low transaction fees.
Right.
How does that factor into liquid restaking?
Low transaction costs are a major advantage because Solana can handle a huge number of transactions very quickly.
Right.
With minimal fees.
Yeah.
It makes the act of restaking and using those restake tokens in DeFi much more cost effective.
Right.
This is critical for attracting a wide range of users, from individuals to large institutions,
right?
Because the transaction costs won't eat into their earnings.
Right, right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
One of the things that came up in the articles was this idea of customizable validator selection.
Yeah.
So is that like always a feature of restaking?
It's a common feature offered by many protocols. Mm-hmm. It gives users the ability to choose specific validators to delegate their restake tokens to.
Okay.
This is important because it empowers users to align their staking with their preferences.
Right.
Whether that's supporting smaller validators or those with a strong track record.
Right.
Which ultimately fosters a more diverse and resilient validator ecosystem.
Okay. So it gives you as the user a little bit more control.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. And it sounds like a lot of this is automated.
Absolutely. Smart contract automation is fundamental.
Okay.
These protocols rely on smart contracts to handle the issuance of LSTs, the distribution of rewards, the management of delegations. This automation reduces the need for constant user intervention, which makes the process more efficient and arguably more secure by minimizing human error.
Right. So essentially, these protocols are like self-driving banks that are just, you know, handling everything automatically.
Exactly.
So we don't have so we don't have to worry about constantly managing things. Gotcha. So essentially, you know, Solana, they're kind of aiming for like this sweet spot.
They are.
Where they're maximizing, you know, the security of the network through staking.
Right.
They're, you know, getting those rewards.
Yeah.
But they're also opening up, you know, the world of DeFi participation.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get kind of both.
You get the best of both worlds.
The best of both worlds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, you know, this idea of making capital work more efficiently.
Wait.
The articles broke this down into a few key areas.
Right.
You know, starting with just the idea of like providing liquidity for staked assets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So traditional staking, as we've discussed, essentially puts your capital in a vault.
Right.
Liquid restaking bypasses this by issuing those tokenized derivatives, the LSTs.
Right.
These act as a key to your staked SOL, allowing you to participate in DeFi without unstaking.
Right.
This immediate access to your capital in a usable form is a significant boost to efficiency. I think of it this way. Your staked Solana, which used to be asleep, can now wake up and work in multiple DeFi jobs simultaneously.
I like that.
Right.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah.
So your capital is not just, you know, sitting there doing nothing. It's earning staking rewards, but it can also be deployed, you know, for other opportunities as you see them.
That leads directly to enhanced capital deployment.
Okay.
Because these LSTs are liquid and composable.
Right.
They can be used as collateral, traded, or deployed in yield farming.
Wow.
This allows users to potentially earn additional returns on their staked capital.
Okay.
Effectively compounding their earnings across different protocols.
So your initial stake is now working in multiple ways.
Multiple ways simultaneously, yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so all this must like have some kind of ripple effect on the overall market.
It does. The improved market access facilitated by liquid restaking is crucial. The fact that these LSTs can be traded creates secondary markets for staked assets. This gives stakers more options for getting in and out of positions and contributes to greater market liquidity and efficiency.
So more people can participate, and
Exactly.
it's the market's just more fluid.
More fluid, yeah.
Okay, so let's break down how these LSTs are actually created,
Sure.
and how they maintain their value relative to SOL.
So when a user stakes their SOL through a liquid staking protocol, the protocol issues them an equivalent amount of LSTs, maintaining that one-to-one relationship with the staked SOL. Importantly, these LSTs passively accumulate the staking rewards that the original staked SOL is earning. So simply holding the LST means your stake is effectively growing in value.
So the value of the LST should reflect the
Yeah.
value of the underlying SOL.
Plus any accrued staking rewards.
Plus any accrued staking rewards.
And behind the scenes, the validator nodes are still doing their job, securing the network and validating transactions. The liquid staking protocol acts as an intermediary, managing the delegation process and the issuance of LSTs. But the fundamental security mechanism of Solana's proof of stake system remains unchanged.
So it's not like fundamentally changing how Solana works.
It's not. It's building on top of it
Building on top of it.
in a really innovative way.
So it's a win-win
It seems to be.
for Solana users, right? They get those higher potential yields, greater flexibility with their capital, and they're still contributing to the network.
The network, yeah.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about, the benefits. We've
Yeah.
kind of painted, a rosy picture.
Right.
But I think it's time to kind of,
Address the elephant in the room.
Address the elephant in the room, talk about some of the potential risks and downsides.
Absolutely. So while it offers significant advantages, liquid restaking also introduces new layers of complexity that can affect network stability and security. In traditional staking, the main risk is usually tied to individual validator behavior. Restaking adds the potential for risks to spread or cascade across different protocols.
And one of the things that you mentioned earlier was this idea of concentration of power. So how could restaking contribute to that?
So restaking can incentivize users to delegate to validators or protocols offering the highest returns. If a few entities dominate these high yields, they could accumulate a disproportionately large share of the total staked SOL. This concentration could lead to centralization risks, potentially making the network more vulnerable to, say, censorship or even collusion among these large players.
So if one of these large players has some sort of failure, it can have like a cascading effect.
It can, yeah, a ripple effect across the entire ecosystem.
And what about the smart contracts themselves?
Smart contract vulnerabilities are another area of concern. These protocols rely on complex smart contracts to manage delegation and LSTs. If these contracts have flaws, it could lead to loss of SOL or misappropriation of LSTs.
And that could be, I mean, those could be pretty significant,
They could be.
Depending on how much is locked up in these
And
contracts.
given how interconnected DeFi is, a major smart contract exploit could have systemic consequences.
So this is all very new.
It is.
We're talking about these new financial tools and services.
Yeah.
What kind of regulatory landscape are we looking at?
Regulatory challenges are definitely something to keep an eye on. Financial derivatives and services like staking as a service are increasingly under scrutiny. There's a risk that new regulations or interpretations of existing laws could impact how these protocols operate. Non-compliance could lead to disruptions, fines, or even a loss of trust. Highlights the need for a proactive approach to security, including rigorous audits and sound economic design.
So it's definitely, potential rewards, but potential risks as well.
More reward often comes with more risk. And in the context of liquid restaking, understanding these security implications is crucial.
Okay, so we know that, Solana's not the only one out there doing this kind of stuff. The outline mentioned Ethereum's Eigenlayer as a comparable solution.
Yeah.
So what are some of the key differences?
Yeah, so while the goal of enhancing capital efficiency is shared,
right,
the ways in which protocols achieve this can vary,
right,
when comparing Solana to Eigenlayer.
Yeah.
Several structural differences are apparent.
Okay.
Solana's high-performance blockchain
right.
gives it an advantage.
Right.
This speed allows for a faster processing
yeah.
of the transactions involved in liquid restaking,
okay.
which can be beneficial during high network activity.
Right.
Other networks might face challenges
right.
related to congestion and higher fees.
Right, which can really impact...
Yeah, it can really impact user experience
yeah.
and discourage participation.
Right.
So Solana's speed makes restaking and DeFi usage cost-effective.
Right.
A key edge over slower networks.
So it's just, it's smoother.
It is. It's smoother.
It's faster.
It's cheaper.
It's yeah. cheaper. And ultimately that leads to a better user experience.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So what about the security?
Well, we also need to consider security and auditing considerations.
Okay.
Solana's approach often involves a multi-layered strategy, integrating its proof-of-stake mechanism
yeah.
with safeguards and audits for smart contracts.
Right.
This emphasis on proactive security can be a key differentiator.
Okay.
Other solutions might rely more heavily on external or community-driven audits,
right.
which, while valuable,
yeah.
right. might present a different risk profile.
Okay, gotcha. So what about actual returns? Yield performance can definitely vary between platforms.
Okay.
Solana's liquid restaking has the potential to offer high compounding yields.
Okay.
Due to the efficient utilization of staked assets within its DeFi ecosystem.
Right.
The predictability and consistency of yields can be influenced by several factors.
Right.
Such as network participation and the success of DeFi protocols.
Right.
But Solana's streamlined environment can contribute to more attractive and consistent returns.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not necessarily going to get those crazy,
right.
you know, like 1,000% APYs.
Right. It's not about chasing those unsustainable yields.
Right.
It's about looking for sustainable and consistent returns.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And that's where Solana really shines.
Gotcha. Okay. And then finally, in terms of, you know,
yeah.
how this connects with other applications and networks.
Interoperability and ecosystem expansion are key.
Yeah.
Solana has focused on a rich, interconnected ecosystem.
Right.
Its liquid restaking protocols are designed to integrate seamlessly with existing dApps
yeah.
and cross-chain activities.
Okay.
This offers greater versatility.
Right.
Other systems might encounter more hurdles
right.
in terms of cross-chain compatibility,
right.
potentially limiting the usability.
Yeah, so Solana's really trying to be kind of a one-stop shop.
Yeah, a hub for all things DeFi.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it sounds like... Yeah. The fundamental concept might be similar across different blockchains.
Right.
But Solana's design and ecosystem
yeah.
give it some distinct advantages.
It does, yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's shift gears a little bit
okay.
and talk about the bigger picture.
Sure.
What kind of market opportunities are being unlocked here?
Well, one of the most significant is yield optimization.
Okay.
Liquid restaking empowers users to access derivative tokens.
Right.
This opens up a wide range of DeFi activities.
Right.
Lending, borrowing,
yeah.
yield farming.
Yeah.
These all become accessible for enhancing returns.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. Your passive staking rewards can become active income streams.
Ooh, I like that.
Right.
That's good.
Through DeFi.
Yeah.
That's the power of liquid restaking.
Yeah. So it's not just about the baseline staking rewards anymore.
It's not. It's about layering on additional income streams.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is particularly appealing to institutional investors and large-scale token holders.
Okay.
Liquid restaking offers them a way to diversify within DeFi.
Okay.
Mitigating risks, creating multiple income streams
yeah, right.
from their initial stake.
So it's a way for them to kind of get yeah. more involved.
More involved, more sophisticated strategies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about, you know, we've talked about yield. What about just the overall liquidity?
Liquidity provisioning
yeah.
is another key opportunity.
All right.
By converting staked assets into liquid derivatives.
Right.
Users can become liquidity providers on DEXs.
Okay.
This earns them fees.
Yeah.
And deepens the overall liquidity in the Solana ecosystem.
So it's a benefit to everybody.
It is. Yeah. A rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And we know that, you know, there's a lot of development happening on Solana.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how does liquid restaking impact, you know, developers and new entrants to the ecosystem?
So new entrants, developers and startups, can leverage restake derivatives in several ways.
Okay.
These liquid assets can be used as collateral for borrowing or as a form of direct funding, providing a more accessible route to bootstrapping liquidity.
That's huge.
It is. And it can foster innovation within the Solana ecosystem.
And it reduces their reliance on like traditional funding sources.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And all of this sounds like it creates like a really positive feedback loop.
Right. There are strong synergies between validators and DeFi users.
Okay.
Validators can benefit from higher delegation rates
right.
as users are drawn to the dual benefits of staking and DeFi yields.
So everybody wins.
Everybody wins, yeah. And this alignment of incentives
contributes to the overall strength of the network.
Yeah, it's like a flywheel.
It is, yeah.
That's spinning up.
Spinning up, yeah, and getting faster and faster.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about some of the potential challenges and risks. Because, you know, obviously, no system is perfect.
Right, right. As with any cutting-edge tech, there are challenges.
Yeah.
Systemic risks and protocol vulnerabilities are a concern.
Okay.
The complexity means there's always a potential for flaws in smart contracts.
Right.
These vulnerabilities, if exploited, could lead to loss of funds or instability.
Yeah. So it's important that these protocols are very carefully audited.
Absolutely. Rigorous auditing and testing are crucial.
Yeah.
Another challenge is market volatility and exit liquidity concerns.
Okay.
The price of SOL, like any crypto, can fluctuate.
Right.
These swings can impact the value of derivatives.
Right.
Additionally, if there's a sudden rush to exit, there might not be enough liquidity to accommodate those exits without losses.
So you got to be careful about, you know, when you get in, when you get out.
Timing is important. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then.
And we also need to think about governance risks and stake decentralization.
Yeah. We touched on this earlier.
We did.
But it's really important.
It is. Changes in governance, either of protocols or the network.
Right.
Could lead to centralization.
Yeah.
For example, if a few large providers control most of the staked SOL.
Yeah.
It could impact voting power.
Right.
Ensuring fair distribution and governance is vital.
Yeah, for sure. And then obviously we've got the regulatory landscape.
Right. Regulatory and compliance uncertainty remains a risk.
Yeah.
The landscape is still developing.
Yeah.
And unexpected changes could impose restrictions.
Right.
This requires both developers and users to stay informed.
Right. So stay up to date. Read everything.
Absolutely.
Don't just blindly ape in.
Exactly.
Okay. Any other risks, operational risks that we should be aware of?
Yeah. Operational risks like failures in infrastructure.
Okay.
Or validator downtime can impact performance and yields.
Right.
Users need to consider the reliability of providers.
Right. So do your own research.
Always.
Don't just trust, you know.
Blindly.
Some random person on Twitter.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So
yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of potential here.
There is. But be
careful.
Be careful. Yeah. Informed participation is key.
Yeah. Okay. So let's look ahead a little bit.
Okay.
You know, how are developers and networks adopting this?
Adoption and integration by developers and networks is going well.
Okay.
From a developer perspective.
Yeah.
The protocol offers flexibility.
Okay.
Developers have access to APIs and SDKs.
Right.
To incorporate liquid staking functionalities into their dApps.
Okay.
This ease of integration is crucial for innovation.
Right. So it's easy for them to
kind
of plug and play.
It is. Yeah. Plug and play.
Okay. And what kind of new applications are we starting to see?
We're seeing things like optimized collateral allocation. In lending protocols, where users can leverage restake tokens.
Right.
There are also new staking pools.
Okay.
That amplify rewards by strategically deploying assets.
Okay.
The interoperability is also a major advantage.
Right.
It integrates well with existing Solana tools.
Gotcha.
Making integration smoother.
Right. So it's all kind of coming together.
It is, yeah.
Nicely.
Nicely.
Okay. And what about the existing networks and validators?
Network adoption is gaining momentum.
Okay.
Validators are recognizing the potential to unlock capital.
Right.
Without compromising security.
Right. Because they can take those LSTs and restake them.
Exactly. And earn additional yields.
Right.
This has created a positive feedback loop.
Yeah.
More stakers, more delegations, stronger networks.
Yeah.
Early adoption by prominent players has built trust in the protocol.
Okay. So what are the key factors driving this adoption?
Several factors. Reduce barriers to entry. The protocol is designed to be user-friendly. Incentive structures.
Mm-hmm.
The potential for higher yields is attractive.
Right.
And comprehensive developer support with documentation and resources.
Okay. So it's easy to use.
Yeah.
It's incentivized, yeah, and there's support.
Exactly.
If you need it.
Yeah, a winning combination.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's talk big picture again.
Okay.
Future implications for Solanas.